This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You wake up this morning, you're on your way to work, or you're driving around and...
sitting in traffic?
Probably sitting in traffic. Reminder, Zipper's your friend. Don't fight it. Don't be resentful. And you'll know the Red Wings aren't in the playoffs today.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah, limping
it's
was...
It's March.
Limping was the word that Filar used in the update. They've lost three in a row. They're not in the playoffs. Here we go again. I saw a lot of SOWs on social media last night. Same old Wings. We've gotten a fed-up tone on the ticket text today. John, they have one more game before the deadline. They'll play Utah. Mm-hmm. I didn't think they were beating Carolina last night. I do expect them to beat Utah. They likely will be back in the playoffs on Friday morning. But in terms of the belief... if Yzerman doesn't believe in this team, why should anybody in the fan base? He's got to show that he believes in his team on Friday.
I don't think the result of Thursday night's game has anything to do or impact on whether Steve Yzerman is going to make a trade or not. It's such a small sample size, but it is indicative of where they are right now in regards to they are odd man looking out, looking in. Mm-hmm. And they just they have to find where they were in some of those seven-game streaks that they've had with Tom McClellan. This is tied for the longest streak, and things are about to get tougher. And I just, right now, I mentioned it, my 51 up until yesterday was that I think that they're going to find a way to get in the playoffs. My 51 now is I think they're out. And it's a fine line. I get it. I'm not going to be jumping back and forth, but when you look at the schedule that they have ahead of them, and yeah, Utah, that's, I hate to say must win with so many games left because there's a lot that can happen in a points race, but Utah, Buffalo, their two home games that they have in the next week, those are kind of must wins against teams that they should beat because they're on the road at Washington, they're on the road at Ottawa, they're on the road at Carolina, they've got Vegas again at Washington, at Vegas, at Utah, at Colorado. It's going to be a tough road for here on out.
First of all, don't feel bad if you feel like you're teeter-tottering. I feel like the fan base is teetering with you right now, and we want people to just be honest about how they feel today about the playoff probability or whether we're going down this path again where they're going to fall just short. Just be honest with us. What's the pulse of Hockey Town? 248-539-9797. They lose to Utah. I'll probably be right there with you, John. I just, losing to a good Carolina team, it's not going to flip me one way or another. You know what I mean?
Oh, I understand. But, okay, they lose to a good Washington team or an Ottawa team.
Or Vegas team.
Or Vegas.
Yeah, I know.
Or Washington again or Colorado. But that's my point is, are they playing good enough hockey to beat some of these teams where, like, okay, if they played any of those teams last night and you're like, yeah, I kind of expected them to lose. This is their schedule.
The last time they lost three in a row, they rattled off seven in a row the other way. Rasmussen's not done for the season. I think an underrated piece. They're going to need to get back in the fold, but it can't be the whole thing. Throw a little bit of depth at the deadline and help this team out. And then I'll believe in this team.
Okay.
I don't think I'm setting an unrealistic expectation.
So last time they lost three in a row, they rattled off seven.
Including wins against Tampa and at Edmonton. So it's not like they just beat up on bad teams in that stretch.
Okay. So their next seven opponents. I'm going to read them off, as I already have, but I'm going to read them off in sequential order. And I want you to tell me how many points they need out of the seven games.
Yeah.
Utah.
Yes, win, have to.
At Washington. At Ottawa.
On a back-to-back, they're probably losing, but then they need to beat Ottawa on the wraparound.
Okay, well, okay. Let me read these off.
I didn't then, know you want then, to go
no,
one
no,
at a
no,
time.
No, then, you no, I wanted to pause for dramatic effect.
Okay.
And then tell me at the end how many points you expect them or need them to have after this. So I'll start over. Utah. Dramatic pause. At Washington, at Ottawa, Buffalo, at Carolina, Vegas, and at Washington.
I wrote down 9 points.
Okay. 9 points in those seven games. Is that going to be enough on the outside looking in right now to put them back in the mix? Or they're in the mix, but to put them back above the cut line?
I have no way of answering it because there's other teams
right,
at play
no,
here.
I know that.
Does it feel like enough? I don't know. 9 or 10 points I feel like is what they should get in the next seven games here. You got to survive the whole season, though. I've said this from the beginning. It's going to come down to every single point. Every single point. And it's what makes last night infuriating is I actually think they started out well against Carolina, but Lyon gives up a soft goal. One he's got to make. Your goalie's got to save that. And then he makes a misplay behind the net. And you're down 2-0. And now you're playing Carolina hockey. Where they're bear down on you, they're going to possess the puck, and you're screwed. And they make a tweak, they get Soderblom loose, they score a goal, they give themselves a chance, but you can't dig yourself 2-0 deficits. If you're not happy about the team right now, I totally understand and relate to it. But I don't feel like Columbus was a game they outplayed them in the stadium series, right? And I felt like that performance more often than not is going to get the job done. They'll get in by the skin of their teeth. I want a little more reassurance from Yzerman on Friday. I think the fan base is right to ask for that 6 years in. But we look to the fan base, and we look to you guys on the phones. 248-539-9797. Joe in Sterling Heights, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, man. I am pretty disappointed. I'm not going to lie. I was really jacked coming out of that Four Nation face-off. I was hoping to get really good hockey. I actually did the $20 a month for the FanDuel Sports Network because I'm like, hey, I'm all in. I can't wait to see. And almost every single one of these games has been a disappointment. We should have came out of that Four Nation faceoff super hot, and I just feel like Larkin has came out and just sputtered. You guys touched on it earlier. You know, he's floundering the last three games, and we need him to step up and be our captain. We need him to be our Yzerman and to pull us out of this rut, and I just don't see it happening. I'm with John. I'm at 51%, not in the playoffs, man.
And you're right. I mean, they're 2-4 since the break, since the Four Nations playoff.
And one of those wins, they had to come back down two goals in the third period. You should get credit for, but it doesn't mean you're playing great hockey if you're putting yourself in that position.
Yeah.
And the calls for Dylan Larkin to step up, I'll echo him. He got called out by his coach, hasn't responded yet, right? I know he came out and had four shots in the first period in the outdoor game, but We need to see him bury one of these odd man rushes, finish one of these plays, score a big power play goal, get back to doing that more. They're not doing this without Larkin. So when McClellan talked yesterday, he spoke before the game and after the game, and he struck the chord of the cavalry's not coming. And afterwards, he said, Santa doesn't always deliver, right? Something like that. And he was emphasizing, we've got the guys who we've got. And he's right that the biggest push has to come from Larkin and Raymond and the in-house guys, right? Edvinson and Sider and the goalies. Come on now. Need a little more out of you. He's right that most of it has to come internally. But the idea that Santa's not going to give us anything, we're going to get coal for Christmas?
Well,
I don't like where that's the tone of that either.
Yeah, though. And I'm not going to go schedule game, game by game, but, it's a tough stretch. It's a tough seven-game stretch here. And it doesn't get any easier after that. That's just as far as I wanted to go. But then you look at the end of the season when if they're just looking for that final point, something that they need to get into the playoffs, they've got 5 of 6 on the road. And one of them is against Montreal, who they're in direct competition with. They're on the road at Florida, Tampa, New Jersey,
playoff
and Toronto.
Teams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not like it gets any easier.
Bill, you're next up. You're on 97.1.
Good morning, gentlemen.
big fan, first time caller.
Oh, thank you.
Let us know what you're thinking.
I truly believe ownership does not give Yzerman the tools to finish the job. That's my impressions. Season ticket holder, love going to the games. They just don't give him the tools. You can see this a little bit with the Tigers, same ownership group. They just won't do it. They figure, we're making money, don't rock the boat. Fans will still show up. They show flashes of brilliance from here and there with the Red Wings. Pleasantly surprised with the Tigers, pleasantly surprised. But with the Red Wings, no. They'll fall 1 or 2 points short, and I'm predicting it now, calling it now. That's it. They're done.
Well, then it'll fall at the feet of Yzerman because you waited a game or two or a week or two too long to fire Lalonde. And if you don't make a move at the deadline, did you leave a win or two on the table by not addressing something? When he brings up ownership, look, you want to bring up payroll in baseball. We've done it. You want to bring up the district and promises that haven't been kept. Understood. There's a salary cap in hockey. Yzerman is working with the same amount of money as every other team. I don't believe a deal is getting vetoed on Friday. They have cap space.
Yeah.
I can't imagine ownership's vetoing a move Yzerman wants to make on Friday. I mean, look, if you conspiracy theory it if you want, I don't believe that.
Look, I was talking to Doug out in a bullpen. I mean, he cleared the cap space for a reason, right?
Right.
I think the reason was that if the team was continuing to accelerate, he would have made a big move. That hasn't happened. So he's probably not going to make a big move, and they're going to go into the offseason with some of this cap space.
Can I just, last note on this? Well, we can take more calls on it, but last note for now. Isn't that a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy? If you never add and then you're not good enough to add?
Well, maybe he didn't trust this team, though, because they've done the same thing the last 2 years with pretty much the same guys.
He didn't trust his team?
Yeah.
Okay, we need to start phrasing it as his team. You know what I mean? Like, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you don't build the team up and then they're not good enough to add at the deadline, didn't you create this problem that now you don't have to add because
the leadership in this locker room continues to fall apart this time of year.
Yeah.
That's a fact. Why?
I don't know.
Did anybody respond to Todd McClellan calling him out?
Well, they put damn near 50 shots on that in the outdoor game.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Edvinson didn't swallow the stick that swung at its face. Like, I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they got screwed on Saturday. That was a game that, especially you come out with 1 point. To come out with zero, they got screwed that night.
Take some of your thoughts and a revelation. I learned something about John Jansen. It's 97.1.
Hey, a personal injury of any sort is, in fact, personal. Injury attorney David Femininio has dedicated his career to securing justice and maximizing recovery for those who have been injured. David is also dedicated to ensuring that you get all the medical care that you need and deserve to put your life back together after an accident. You need an attorney that's going to make it personal, and that attorney is David Femininio. So if you or someone you know has been injured, you need to tell him to call David Femininio. He's going to answer at 855-65-CRASH, or you can always go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
Red Wing head coach Todd McClellan, deadline is Friday. They've lost three in a row. We said, just give us where you're at, Hockey Town. Is it panic? Is it dread? Here we go again. Is it anxiety? You're unsure. You're teetering. Will they? Won't they? Mm-hmm. Are you defiant? They can rally like they have a couple times under McClellan. They will add. They will get healthy. They will play. The first line is going to perk up at some point. How do you feel as a hockey fan today following the loss last night?
And this is on the heels, and the PTSD is real from last year. And we are in that exact same spot. Now, they had a bigger cushion last year that they lost. Not as big of a cushion. In fact, it's gone now. But they're in March. And this is a team that fell apart last year. And the players on the ice that are the ones that should be making the providing the leadership and providing the points are the ones that are coming up short. Now, I know Alex DeBrincat has been on a little bit of a hot streak, but where's Patrick Kane? Where's Dylan Larkin? Where are all these guys that are supposed to be making the difference?
I'll be self-aware and even self-diagnosed. I may be in denial. I still think they're getting in. I think they're beating Utah. I think Yzerman's doing something. And I think they're going to get more production out of this first line. I actually think a little bit of a subtlety was the change they made in the third period yesterday. And I'm watching the game with Kelsey, and I'm going, they got to do something on this first line. And then the next shift out, Soderblom's on the top pair. Actually, I noticed it first because Kasper was down on the third line. Mm-hmm. I'm going, oh, they bumped him off the first line. They got to shake it up, and Soderblom makes a great play. I think McClellan has a couple more of these moves, tinkering with the lines, pushing this thing as far as he can get it. I think they're still going to get in by the skin of their teeth, and maybe that is me in denial. They lose to Utah. They don't do anything at the deadline. I may be there with the mob come next week.
I mean, look, I would side with John that I think right now, if I had to say they're not getting in.
Okay.
I have to see it change this time of year for me. Something's got to change. They've got to do something they haven't done the last 2 years. It's in this team's DNA to blow this thing again.
Yep.
I also think, you know, you just hit me in the head the other day when you went through their problems.
Goalie, that, 5-on-5, penalty kill.
That's 3 out of 4. The penalty power play is good. And I think the power play's probably been performing at an unsustainable rate. And I also think the book might be out on their power play since the break, since the Four Nations, in terms of teams now know what they're doing. They're going to slow it down is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
To where you were second best power play in the game right now. That might slide down to 5. Well, that's really going to hurt a team that has that list of problems you just listed off. And I was surprised, like you said, maybe I'm living a lie. I was surprised you said 9 points in 7 games.
It probably needs to be 10. I was doing it on the fly, and I had them losing both capital games. They probably need to split in that stretch. It's probably 10.
Need is one thing. Trust or think what they're going to do? I wouldn't pick this team to get more than a point per game right now, the rest of the way. I honestly think that's what I would go with in terms of what's that get them to then?
They're like, at what, 68?
66 right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I look at tomorrow night, like I think people are looking at this Utah hockey team coming in, they're an expansion team, or they're last year's Coyotes. Well, this group of players lost to the Coyotes twice last year.
Well, that's, Ticket Texture says I need to pay more attention to hockey. Utah has a team now? When did this start? Well, that's the painful reminder. They are Arizona, who upended the season a year ago.
You might
ago.
Think whatever you can think whatever you want of them. The bottom line is they're 3 points lower than the Wings. So there's no separation in these teams, and I would call tomorrow night's game maybe slightly the Wings' favor because they're at home.
Point of game gets them to 87.
And are they going to win at Ottawa?
I counted that as one.
As a win?
Yeah, I did.
That's Jim, I'm not trying to be mean.
Please go ahead.
I think assuming winning at Ottawa is reckless.
So there we go. They won at Edmonton. Was that reckless? They've beaten Tampa. Like, it's not like this team can't beat good hockey
but
teams.
But right
like
now, this team isn't that team.
Well, next Monday, they might not be that team. We're getting hung up because they lost to Carolina, who's really freaking good. I don't know. Let's get some phone calls in.
But they're playing a lot of really freaking good teams.
But this thing's setting up that he doesn't.
Not one of them.
He doesn't make a move, and you're going to play the best team in hockey on Friday.
Well, I told you. Look.
And they truck the Wings 7-2.
Tom, if they don't do anything at the deadline and they lose to Utah, like, I'll be right there with you. They got to beat Utah. They got to beat Ottawa. They got to beat Buffalo. They got to beat the teams they're supposed to beat on the bubble here. And they have to do something at the deadline.
I think you're going to tomorrow night's game. We need Kelsey to record you.
Oh, God.
Yes. Like, finally, like if they're losing, like acceptance.
Yes.
The stages.
Uh-huh.
Let's
go through all stages in 3 periods.
Paul in Chesterfield. You're on 97.1. Oh, not Paul in Chesterfield.
Oh.
John in Detroit. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Sorry to be a dark cloud, but I think this should turn them into sellers. Dylan Larkin has proven he can be elite when surrounded by elite players in the Four Nations. The market's going to be high on him because of what he did. But they've shown they're not going to surround him with elite players, and he can't do it on an island. And maybe he wants to get out of living in the same 10-mile radius he has his whole life. Who knows? But, I mean, they're not going to do it. Let's say they squeeze in the playoffs. They've proven they're not that team. They don't have the horses. I mean, it sounds like the coach is a real horse racing fan from all his analogies, but they're not going to surround Larkin with what he needs to be elite, but he's proven he can be elite when surrounded by those, so ship him out and get something in here because it ain't happening.
It'd be a drastic shift.
Yes.
To trade your captain, your homegrown guy you just gave an 8-year deal to.
Oh, man.
It would signify you don't plan on winning anything for the next couple seasons.
I don't know where Yzerman is pointing. But I got to believe if they don't make it this year, it's use that salary cap and you have to be all in for next year. All of these young players are a year older. And you might even have some guys that you're bringing in as young players that could potentially be major contributors. I don't see it happening this year.
Phone calls, ticket texts, and so much more to wrap up the hour. We'll get to Heather's news. We also got to get into this thing I learned about John Jansen that surprised me. Shouldn't judge a book by its cover.
No, you shouldn't, you judgy individual.
Yeah, guilty. It's 97.1. All right, Heather, let's get to the news.
Yeah, well, day three of testimony in the Swan Boat Club crash began this morning. Tuesday was the first full day of testimony, and it was a pretty emotional day at that. Mariah Dodds, the mom of the two children who were killed, took the stand. And, of course, her testimony left everyone in tears, including the defense attorney and Marcella Chidester, the woman on trial. Today, I know it started earlier this morning. They had a phlebotomist who drew her blood testify. They also had a victim, a child that was injured in the crash, testified along with another officer, and more throughout the day will continue to happen.
The details of the mom's testimony, even if you weren't there, it'll bring you to tears.
Mm-hmm. Without a doubt. The fact that she was injured herself,
right.
Didn't remember what happened, but woke up, and then that's when she was told, oh, by the way, one of your child is injured, two of them didn't make it, and you're here in the hospital as well, and it's very, very sad. A chemical leak at Frankenmuth's Splash Village sent five people to the hospital on Tuesday. It was a chlorine leak, happened on the Tantrum Twist family raft ride, kind of early afternoon. Five guests treated at the scene, then transported to the hospital for chemical inhalation. Other people were, I guess, not injured, but reported symptoms as well.
Affected.
Kind of said that they couldn't breathe that well. Authorities believe that the system that feeds chemicals into that particular ride, that raft ride, malfunctioned, leaving a higher concentration than normal. It sounds like everything was addressed. The whole park is going to be up and open today. So that's good. Ohio State and the NHL apparently clashed over the use of the word "the" during the most recent installment of the NHL Stadium Series. It is absurd. Obviously, that series saw the Wings and the Blue Jackets compete in the same building that usually hosts Ohio State football games, right?
Yes. Well, in the toilet seat.
Yeah, sure.
That's what, I mean, some people think it looks like a horseshoe, but it looks like more like a toilet seat.
Anyway, the game was a success, I guess not for the Wings, but there was a lot of people there. It was like the second most attended game in the history of the league. And locals saw all their like Ohio State signage, the marching band played, all of that. But apparently the school was initially like hesitant to let the league refer to the Stadium Series as the Stadium Series in advertising due to the word "the."
The Ohio State University, the Stadium Series. Oh, you bunch of pretentious.
Stupid.
Yeah. So it was the second highest attended NHL game. What's the highest attended NHL game?
Wasn't it the...
Why is John asking
the big house? Yeah, it was the big house, John.
Oh, there's two of those, right? Oh, okay. Sorry. It's actually the third highest attended game.
For the NHL?
Yeah.
The NHL's only done one at the big house, I thought. The second time was Comerica.
Oh, no. Yeah. So, sorry. The other one was not an NHL game. It's the highest attended hockey game. It was Michigan versus Michigan State.
Okay.
One NHL game.
Okay. There we go.
My bad.
Yep. It's been a tough offseason for Ravens offensive lineman Ben Cleveland. I don't know if you follow his offseason.
Yes.
But he just filed for divorce from his wife, alleging infidelity or adultery. Adultery was the word that was used. And he filed for divorce 16 days after being arrested for drunk driving.
Nobody really follows his offseason except when it is in the news.
Yes, and it's been in the news. He didn't go into any of the details of this adultery, but he's going through some things, that's for sure.
What's the difference between adultery and infidelity?
I don't know. That's why I use the word infidelity, but the word adultery was in this.
You made the correction. I was just wondering.
Because in the court documents on this one, yes. It says
okay. Adultery.
Adultery.
Okay. Yes. So I switched my word to be correct with the story. Yeah. All right. Did you guys know that urine was used to fertilize back in ancient Rome and China back in the day? Farmers used to use it, apparently.
Okay.
Now farmers in Vermont are bringing this practice back to boost harvests and grow crops in a more sustainable way. So there is a neighborhood. There's like 250 neighbors that have been collecting their urine to donate to farmers.
Oh.
Yeah. And so far they've donated a total of 12,000 gallons of pee each year.
That's a lot of pee.
It's a lot of pee. So then from there, after it's collected, it's pasteurized and then it's sprayed on farmland. And scientists are finding that urine can be really helpful, more than double the yield of crops like spinach, kale, things like that, compared to no fertilizer in
so
general.
So Doug is eating
pea kale
and pea spinach.
Yes.
What do you think?
Urine infused kale. How's it taste in your smoothie there, Doug?
I mean,
but what do you think? Like manure is fertilizer. What do you like? Yeah. Shoot, come on. This isn't anything different.
No, it's not. It's just when you think of, it's more the thought of people collecting their pee.
Yeah. Yes. What's the collection process? Do they store in a jug?
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. He'll fill this jug.
Like drug testing in the NFL?
Yeah, yeah.
Or is there someone there to make sure it's from two?
Oh. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm. Uh-huh, yeah.
These are the questions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lots of questions.
Only that steroid pee makes them grow faster.
It's what plants crave.
Goodness. So apparently there's a new workplace term that's going around. To me, it's really nothing new. The term is new, but the action probably isn't that new. It's called task masking. And it's basically where employees spend a lot of time and effort just trying to look like they're working hard. But in reality, they're probably doing very little at all. So it's going around on TikTok. Like there's tips for task masking, and it's most popular with young Gen Z workers. Things like walking fast with your laptop, like underneath your arm, in your armpit, like look like you're important, look like you have somewhere
in a hurry,
to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, but in all reality, you're just walking around fast. Or typing really loud. Big important things to say.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, things like that. Anyway, I think it's been around for a while, but people are doing it.
It's Heather with the news. We have some breaking
news.
Oh. NFL news.
In the NFL, yes.
The Bears have swung a trade for Joe Tooney of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Trying to beef up that offensive line. We saw Jonah Jackson traded to the Bears. Good for them. And now they're adding Joe Tooney.
Fourth round pick in 2026 for the Pro Bowl guard. Joe Tooney beefs up Chicago's offensive line. I think they gave up a sixth for Jonah.
Yeah, yeah. So this, I think, is a good trade. He is a terrific offensive lineman. We saw him in the Super Bowl struggle at left tackle. He's not a tackle. He was playing there due to injury. He is a very good guard. And so going to Chicago, it does improve their offensive line. I said this when Jonah Jackson was here. Not a huge fan. I don't think that's a huge upgrade for him. Glad he's there. And so, pick your defensive lineman. We get to pick on Jonah Jackson, if he's even healthy to play.
Which I know is a big point of contention. Look, they gave up day three picks to get starting offensive linemen. Ben Johnson understands what he had in Detroit and how important that's going to be in Chicago. And these contracts are bloated, which is why they were able to get him so cheap. But they can afford a little bloat when you have a rookie quarterback on a rookie deal. Like, all jokes aside, this
Jonah
makes
Jackson's
sense.
Jackson's contract's not cheap.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But they can afford it because they have a rookie quarterback.
Yes. Yes, this is true.
Yeah. There you go. John, I shared a story with you off air, and we can make it a topic on air. But in sharing with you, I learned something about you. We've been doing a show for over a year, and I learned that you like going to a Broadway musical.
I do.
Big, tough, manly John Jansen.
Uh-huh. Sitting down, watching people sing.
I went over the weekend to the Fisher Theater and saw Parade. Kelsey loves going to Broadway shows. She's been when she's gone to New York. I have not been to a musical and didn't know how to feel about it. Because in movies, I don't like extended song numbers.
Right. Yeah. Sound of Music isn't at the top of your movie list. Love The Sound of Music.
I like the dialogue.
Go for the oldest. There's more recent musicals.
Right. Yeah. Sure. High School Musical.
Sure.
Sure.
You and TJ have something in common.
But we watched Wicked when it came out, and I actually thought that was pretty good. And I'm like, I'll keep an open mind. We went on Sunday night. There's no sports going on. She drags me out to the Fisher Theater, and I enjoyed it. And I don't know if this is something that we'll do more often now, but I was surprised how much I enjoyed going and watching the musical.
So we were going to talk about this because it was, hey, what is your significant other ask you to do that you didn't think you'd like? And yeah. You ended up liking it.
Yeah.
And then I had the breaking news of I like going to musicals.
Yeah.
I think what they do is the talent that they have and the ability to do it night in, night out is so exceptional. And I love watching people who are very talented, especially at things that I can't do or never hope to do. But whether it's just the performances on stage, and sometimes you go to concerts and you don't hear the same voice that you hear on the radio. And it's kind of like, well, you know, hey, the music is good and the live music is always is good. But you're like, wow, they don't sound very good. When you go to a musical, they all sound terrific. And I'm not going to, I don't know, my ear is not trained enough to say if somebody is on or off. I could see the obvious or hear the obvious, but they are so good at what they do. And it's not only the singers, the actors, and the dialogue that they have, the story that they're telling. It's the fact that the entire environment makes you feel like you're a part of the story. If you're able to sit close enough, the eye contact sometimes that they have kind of draws you in and it makes you feel like you're actually in the play or, you know, not a part, but you're part of it. But it's also the orchestra. When you hear the live music, it just to me is there's a certain trance that you get into. And then they can't be long.
Yeah, this is 2.5 hours. There's an intermission, though.
That's what I love about it, too. I get a chance to go up, get some popcorn, relieve myself, and then get back at it.
You're immersed, I think, is the word to describe what you're talking about.
You get a very good word.
Immersed in the show.
Yes, musical immersion.
You went to a musical when you were playing with Washington, right?
I went to a lot of musicals. Yeah, I went to Miss Saigon, and once I found out I liked them, I would take the train up to New York frequently. There was somebody that I worked with in New York, and they would have access to Broadway tickets and shows, and a lot of them were off-Broadway, but I really enjoyed going to those and witnessing those.
Some of these performers are powerhouses.
Oh, they're
incredible,
tremendous.
And they don't flub any lines. They don't miss, not missing any notes.
Morbidly, I kind of always sit there and kind of hope that maybe somebody would misstep every once in a while.
It's a little
comedy involved.
Stoney rooting for those figure skaters to just fall.
Not quite as dramatic as that, but yes. Yeah.
But yeah, our question was, and question is... What did your husband or wife or your partner drag you to that you realized, I actually kind of like this. Mm-hmm. I didn't give it a chance. I needed to be more open-minded. This actually was a good time. Heather, do you have anything like that?
I've been thinking about it, and there is something that I have made Colin do with me that I don't think he ever would have done without me. And it sounds lame, but we haven't done it in a while, but antiquing. I like to refinish things and repurpose things, and I love old things because they're built differently. They have character, and I like history, so I like imagining what it was used, when it first was. Anyway, I've made him come along with me to different antique stores or antique festivals, and I mean, there's something about they're calming, they're relaxing, and he's kind of gotten, I wouldn't say into it, but... He enjoyed it more than he thought he would, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it can go the other way. Like, I've been watching Severance, and Kelsey's not into Severance. And she described last weekend as a hostage situation as I tried to get her caught up. She's like, I can only do one or two of these at a time. I'm not binging this show.
Kelsey, you can leave.
That's a different...
You can walk out the door. You can find something better to do. You can even stay in the house and find something better to do. Heck, I think maybe playing with the cat might be better than watching that. I'm not a huge fan of Severance either, as you... might have
very
picked
good.
Up on.
It's very good show.
You can't watch it with your phone out. You have to pay attention. And I'll even concede this for you and TJ. TJ Lang was complaining about this on Twitter. There is a point where you go, I need a little more. I need a little bit of a hook. But when it kicks in, it takes a little longer than you'd like.
Yeah,
it's really good.
I don't have the patience to make it that far. When does it kick in?
I'd say end of season one. And I've really liked season two.
I don't think so. I mean, maybe not hooked on the first few episodes by any means, but... I was hooked before the end of season one, for sure.
Okay.
I thought TJ had a great descriptor. One of his social media posts was, this is a movie for people who hate their jobs. Because it the whole premise is, right, is the severance of when you're at work, that's all you can think of. When you're out of work, that's all you can think of.
Yes, that is the premise. But there's like, what are they doing at work? And is this nefarious? And there's suspense and mystery and thrills. You're looking at me like I'm speaking a different language. Yes. It's not for you. I understand. What is your partner, your husband, your wife dragged you out to and you realized, I like this. This is good. I'm surprised. It's 97.1.
Hey, when the NBA game tips off, the NBA action is just beginning and all the fun that you can have on FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel is your home for NBA live betting. So even if you miss the first few minutes of the game or want to bet on the fourth quarter comeback, you can make your picks from the first whistle until the final buzzer. Plus, you can even combine your live bets into a same game parlay for a shot at a bigger payout. And who doesn't love that? Put down a little, win a lot. That's what those same game parlays provide. However you want to play, now is the perfect time to join. New FanDuel customers get started with $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. Visit FanDuel.com/971Detroit to join today. That's FanDuel.com/971Detroit for your shot at $150 in bonus bets. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. You must be 21 or over and present Michigan. First online real money wager, only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's a few hockey texts we'll get to, but we asked you guys the stories of your partner dragging you out to something you didn't think you'd like, and you're pleasantly surprised. I went to the Fisher Theater this weekend, saw a musical, like a Broadway-style musical. I liked it. And then I learned John likes a good musical, too.
Oh, yeah. I think they're a great event to go to.
Heather brought up antiquing. She's dragged Colin out antiquing.
I love antiquing. And part of it's the craftsmanship.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, antiques are get antiqued for a reason, right? They're old. And we tend to like things that are old. But it's also the environment that you're in. A lot of times it's either a fairground or, you know, sometimes it's an old barn. Mm-hmm. And it's just the smell that's unique.
What was that show on the History Channel? American Pickers?
Oh, yeah.
Where they go and find all kinds of like treasure buried in someone's old barn or yard or garage or something. Ticket Texter says, my wife bought me tickets to Michael Bublé years ago when he was at the Palace.
Oh.
I didn't want to go and tried to get her to take someone else who would appreciate it more. But I had to admit afterwards, it's a great show. Score one for the missus.
Now, I have not seen him in person, but Kelly put on a concert a few years ago of his at the holidays. He's extremely good entertainer. He really is. Kind of like him, Harry Connick Jr. is. Mm-hmm. Very underrated.
Harry Connick Jr. is a terrific musician.
Yes. Bublé puts on a good show. He seems friendly. He's Canadian. Most Canadians are nice.
Or.
Oh, here we go.
I'm just kidding.
Tariff Radio 248. What do you make of the 51st? Okay.
Sorry. Sorry to all our friends north of the border.
Isn't Harry Connick Jr. from near where the Gulf of Mexico or Gulf of America is?
Oh, boy. Here we go. What else you got? Texter says, I'm a rock and roll guy. My wife likes rap, hip hop, that type of thing. She dragged me to a Bone Thugs and Harmony concert, and I thoroughly enjoyed myself. Great show, Robert and Warren. Mm-hmm. Wife dragged me into buying a whole new house. I wasn't ready to move, but I'm so glad we did. Nicer neighborhood, better interest rate. Ticket Texter says, if I have to hear this traffic update lady tell me to pack my patience every day for the next 2 years, I'm going to lose it. That one's just randomly unsolicited.
Yeah.
We did talk about it earlier. It's a problem.
Yeah. I kind of picked up on that today, too. I was like, all right, we know it's closed. We know there's detours. We know her favorite detour. And we know you need patience.
But it's the first week of it. I don't think she's wrong to hammer it.
It is Wednesday. We've crossed the halfway point. Or we're crossing.
Of the week.
Yeah, I was going to say. It wasn't even blocked on Monday.
Dude, they stopped mentioning construction. They normally don't mention construction in most updates if they've actually got other things to talk about.
Yeah, but when the major construction project, that is going to be a two-year project, and the detour is shut down, then it becomes a problem.
True. But the pack the patience part.
I think he's right.
No, she's right. She's right, not him. Next week, 6 months from now, we get it. 696 is closed. The first week?
Yeah, September 1st. Pack your patience.
Yeah, we talked about it as a topic, so I can't be mad at her for it. A couple on hockey says, same team, same result. How are they any better than last year? We're getting a lot of that today, John.
Mm-hmm.
If Yzerman doesn't make a move and they miss the playoffs, he should be fired. That's Nort in Pinckney.
I'm not going to go that far this year, but I do. We're starting to get a lot more of those text messages, a lot more of those callers, and I think the tide is beginning to turn.
Yzerman. High-end drafts have been successful. First-rounders looked the part. Casper's 20 years old. I think he's going to turn into a really good player. High-end drafting has provided a foundation, but that's not the whole gig. Troy Weaver hit on a couple high picks. You got to build a team. Mm-hmm. If they don't make the playoffs this year, and especially if they don't add, there's not an effort to make the playoffs, I think the seat's hot because it can't just be a collection of young players. You got to build a team. You know, I mean, half the teams make it in the NHL. You got to be one of those teams. The Red Wings are currently in the longest drought in franchise history, longer than the Dead Wings.